Biblical Approach to Death and Dying. This is Dr. Bill Ammon. This is tape number 8. We're going to be looking about some final preparations, some final thoughts. Congratulations if you've come this far. I know for a fact that your life has been changed if you are. But I pray that down deep you've developed a ministry of love, a ministry of prayer, a ministry which I know is far more enhanced because you've involved yourself in the lives of people that need you the most. Walking your loved one home will cause you to think about your own mortality. I know that when you first started to even work on this subject, and I know that the first time you went to minister to a person that's terminally ill, it was scary for you. It was fearful. In fact, after all these years, I still am nervous when I go for the first time to minister to a person. Not just the first time, often. I go and I'm nervous because I realize the importance of my task and I realize the importance of this time in the person's life. But not only that, I get nervous because, or especially more at the beginning, because I realize that I have to face that reality too. And the time will come when I will be in their position. And I go through some of the feelings we're going to talk about here, anticipatory grief. I go through many things which I never thought I'd have to go through. And it becomes very difficult to deal with. Some of you might even have been tempted when you first started with this course to say, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. I can't go through this. I know of one situation where a professor who was interested in these thoughts and realized the importance of taking a very sober look at the realities of death created a course called The Dialogue with Death. I wish I could have taken it. Was surprised when he found out that the course was filled up right from the beginning. But he made each one of those students begin each night to write about the fact of the reality of their death and answer certain questions. And he led them through the very scary thoughts of dying to an acceptance of their own mortality and a moving on in life to in the light of it. What a beautiful, beautiful thing it must have been. I wish I would have been part of it. Well, it would appear to be impossible not to let your imagination work a little overtime as you imagined being in your terminally ill loved one's condition. True. You'll have many times when you'll be wondering what she's feeling and how you would feel in the same condition. As you give her words and loving deeds aimed at comforting and encouraging, you're going to wonder how you would be affected by the same attempts. You're going to think, how would I feel if I was receiving the ministry that I'm giving them? And you're going to question yourself. And that's good, because that keeps your motives pure, and that keeps your ministry vital. And any attempt that you have to minister to that person will be viably effective because you know that you're truly going to touch that life. And that's good. I like that. But you'll be wondering, as you give her words and loving deeds aimed at comforting and encouraging her, you're going to wonder how you would be affected. My guess is, yes, you'll be affected. Don't feel guilty. I feel that the reaction is normal. At this point, many people shudder at fear. The reality of our death is a topic which we try to put off as long as we can, don't we? In fact, this is the main reason why some folks don't go near hospitals, funeral homes, or deathbeds. They're scared to death. Scared to death of death. They think that if they don't go near them, then they'll never have to deal with death's fears and complications. Well, this is an unfortunate conclusion and could keep a person from going through the most important mental challenge you can possibly go through. That being the reality of your own demise and being able to accept it. Jesus went through the death experience just to give us strength and understanding so that we would do better. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were in bondage all their life long. It's good to face the reality of your death. Just the act of facing your own death is an act which will add living, real living, in every remaining day. We human beings fail to realize the importance of life until we see its end drawing near. We see death as a giant enemy which will show up as the grim reaper and call us to a empty, cold grave. Ooh, shuddery, scary feelings, aren't they? As a matter of fact, you know, I have to be honest with you again at this point and share with you the fact that I even hesitated to write on this subject because it seemed to me that the only people who validly could write on these things were those who were going through death. And people like Thomas Watson, people who knew it. I accepted Kubler-Ross because she was a clinical psychologist, knew a lot. But we get this feeling that the only people who can really write on these things are those who are actually in the experience of dying because they know firsthand what these feelings are. Well, God quickly took that thought from me, and that the fact is, and the reality is, there are more people who aren't sick who are taking care of the sick. And as a pastor, I need to be able to enter into that experience, be able to help that person, and I don't have to be terminally ill in order to be able to do it. Even though the speaker that comes to the podium as a person who has 6 months to live has a much wider audience than one who has learned and who has studied and who has tried to, in any way possible, gain the information that that person knows firsthand. So don't feel bad when you're upstaged by a person who's not nearly as qualified as you, but they're dying, therefore others want to hear what he has to say. But remember that saying, death ain't no big deal. I love the thought which brings me to that conclusion. We don't fear death, but we fear is the process of dying. Think about this. Remember when you were in your mother's womb? Remember that thought? We thought about what we would say if someone asked us, would you like to be born? We would have personally said, born where? And we would have told us all about earth and about the sun and the trees and the fresh water and the laughter and the life and the running and the playing and the fishing and all the rest of it. Well, we knew nothing about it, so we would have said, no, I'll be very happy and satisfied to stay here within my mother. I'm warm, I'm fed, and everything is wonderful and provided for me. You didn't want to face the reality of something that you really had a limited amount of knowledge about. Well, it's the same thing about dying. We don't want to push through the womb of dying and because we don't know exactly what the reality is. But the truth is, there's a gorgeous, wonderful reality out there. And as a matter of fact, the reality of dying and the reality of going to heaven and the reality of going through the death experience is so absolutely gorgeous. I believe if God would have ever told us about it, we'd been out doing careless things, hoping we'd be killed, just because it's so much better there than it is here, even as it was better being born than it was to be within your mother. No disrespect to mom. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Death is an important part of living. It's the end of your time of existence here on earth. No one gets out of this body without death. Even in the rapture, you have to put aside this body. Behold, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Absolutely. Especially if you saw my body, you'd know why I look forward to it so much. We all hope for the coming of Jesus for us. For it is a way out of the death experience without death as we know it. Now, does everybody experience anticipatory grief? Let me warn you, to challenge you to face death is an invitation to premature grief over your own death. I know that. I know that from the very beginning of this time that you studied, you went through feelings that you never thought you'd have. Some of you were ready to quit. Some of you thought this is sick or this is dumb. There's something wrong with this. But what was actually happening is probably and possibly for the first time you're coming to the reality that I too am going to die. Did you have that experience? Was that your experience? Maybe not. The younger ones seem to feel that way easier because when we're young we feel there's no such thing as death. What's death? We run from it. We never have to deal with it. And perhaps even one of the things that happens while you're younger, so is your family younger. So you're not worried about your mom's death or your dad's death because they're young too. Then as you get on in life and you see others and friends and loved ones and people who have gone on ahead of you, then the facts of the reality of death become more real to you as you go along and you begin to anticipate your own death. Think about your own death. Some go through that grief and are actually stronger for it. I know I did. Scholars call this anticipatory grief. The question might seem a little anticlimactic, but I think it's important for you and I to realize that we all have a fear of the dying process and in fact go through some grief anticipating it. For a short while, you will feel shock and confusion in your own possibilities. You might go through the whole gamut of feelings right up to the yielding to the realities. Then as with the case of your loved one, your life makes a change for the better, some more dramatic than others. I must say that there's some who never get over the grief and the fear of death. To these, death is a fearful, ugly experience and will do anything they can not to have to look at its realities. It's their choice. But God help us to realize how important the day is. Someone says this, let's live one day at a time and take nothing for granted. So when you get over the anticipation of grief and get over the fear of death, life will look a whole lot different for you. Well, you get the point. That fear which you ran from now is gone, at least for a while, and you are better prepared to serve your dying loved one than ever before. See, that's called preparation, and I hope that that has happened and that's your experience. Now, being free from the surface fears such as those we all have when you even think about your own mortality will not only change your outlook on life, it will also dramatically increase your sensitivity toward your loved one. That's what it's all about, folks. Hey, that's what it's all about. I have prayed that I have made you a caring, sensitive, loving human being. Not that I have made you. Excuse me, let me retract that. But I have, through God, been able to pass on to you ways that you can become more like Christ. When I see Christ, you know, that's why some churches give you the opinion that the only thing there is evangelism. No, there's ministry. There's ministry. 2 Timothy 2:5 tells us that we should be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, all things are in there. Yes, in evangelism. But God wants you to be a lover of people, a one who is sensitive to their needs. And if you'll really look at it, you'll find out that Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 61 when he talked about the importance of him coming into his ministry. He came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, for you and for me. Well, when you get free from those things, those fears, and that terrible thought as you have as a youngster. Although I have to say, often when we see youngsters who know that they're dying, they actually appear to be stronger than adults. Isn't that the truth? Well, they actually are, for they've accepted their own mortality, even though they don't totally understand what it's all about. But they're in a position to help some of their weaker adults, the weaker adults that are within their lives. Well, unrelated to the thoughts of anticipatory grief, but important to think about, is the possibility that you might even feel guilty for surviving your loved one. If you're older, your loved one might have gone. And also remember this, when you're dealing with a loved one who has survived another loved one, be realizing they might feel guilty for having survived that person. And all your lives you may have hoped that you would go before him or her. But we all know that it can be harder to stay than leave, can it? Especially when we know our loved one is in the presence of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Amen. Feel guilty? If you feel guilty, still being alive without your loved one accepted as a normal reaction to the experience of dying. As cruel as it may seem, and not true in every case, of course, you might seem a little glad that you're not dying. It's okay, isn't it, to still be alive? Don't get overcome with false guilt. We all will feel like that to some degree. The obvious explanation is they're just feelings, and feelings aren't right or wrong. They're just feelings. After all, when we know Christ, we never die anyway. Jesus said, John 11:26, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Important, isn't it? Amen. Now, let's change gears here a little bit. Finish up with this thought. You're ministering to a person who's dying, who either has one member of the family left, or some members of the family left, or some responsible people within their life. And oftentimes they can be so involved with the dying experience and ministering to what's happening, or so overwhelmed with the feelings of what is happening, they cannot realize how important it is that they gain some information. I've seen people and experienced people who have lost a loved one and then have come some time after they're over their initial grief, and have said to me, "I have no idea where all his papers are. In fact, I don't know whether he was in the service or not. I don't know whether he has any benefits. I don't know whether he has any insurance policies. I don't know whether he was ever in part of any other churches or any other organizations. I have no idea. In fact, he paid the bills. I don't know where to send the bills. I don't know what's there. I don't know what insurance policies are there. I don't know what to expect out of Social Security." Now, one of the things that's good, another thing that's real good about hospice, is they have these social workers that can come in and help you with that. But I would prefer to counsel you, to counsel your loved ones and their families, as to preparing for that before they die, finding out who they want told that they died, where they were in the service, and all the rest of it. Basically, finding personal information so that you'll be able to go on. And this is information which should be gathered by all of us before we find the need urgent. Who do you want to have what? That's kind of important, isn't it? We talked about that a little bit before, but if you don't want your family fighting over your belongings like buzzards after you're gone, make out a simple list and let them know what you want them to have while you are living. If stuff has warranties and manuals and the like, put them in an envelope so that they can be found. You'll help by filing the envelopes with the executor of the will. Some of the items the kids might want because they have great meaning to them and other survivors. You don't have to give it away to somebody. Somebody can take it. Obituary information. You just might have some things you want published in your obituary. Special remembrances, achievements, or identifications. This can add a beautiful touch after the death. When you prearrange your funeral arrangements, be sure all the details are discussed and agreed upon with the funeral director. The best time to do this is while you have the funds. Can express your own wishes, then forget it and go on living. This will make the whole experience smoother for you and your loved ones. All this information should be filed with your undertaker. Some people are very controlling and they want to control their funeral. They want to control everything right up to their death. Okay, let them do it. But at least be armed to know what they will need. There will be important information. Who do you want to be notified? Call his pastor or clergyman. Call his boss or his place of work. Make a list of friends, fellow workers, teammates, and past members who wish to be notified. Be sure to list the names and addresses. Don't do so. Your desires will not be carried out. See, you can bring these into the presence of this person who is dying because they've gone through that. And it gives them a last ability to control something else of their life, even if it is after they're gone. Funeral and burial information. Some funeral parlors have forms with this information on now. It's wonderful how funeral parlors cooperate with the family now. I love it. I love what they're doing. If you own a burial plot, be sure all the papers and information is written and available. If you have a funeral parlor preference, then write it down. Write out your favorite poems and songs and Bible verses. And leave copies of them. If you have readings, leave copies of what you wish to be read. If you desire to be cremated, be sure it is written and notarized. Because some parts, some of them have families where they have real stubborn, controlling parts of the families. And even they will even supersede a person's wish just because they're strong and pig-headed, if I can use the word. You have a special suit or any other request for the funeral, write them out. I was to a funeral a couple months ago, and the guy lay in the coffin, and he was a Dallas Cowboys fan. And boy, I'll tell you, it looked so right. The guy never went to church. Very little church. But he was a football fan. So they had him laying in the coffin with his Dallas Cowboys football shirt on. Aiken, I believe, was the name of the quarterback that had his number on his chest. He had Dallas things there. See, that seems so appropriate. Because all the people that came there, that's what they remembered. I remember another time I went I did the funeral, and a little kid looked up in the coffin, and there was Grandpa with the suit on and everything like that. And the kid says, "I never saw Pop-Pop without a suit, with the suit on." And she says, "I remember Pop-Pop, every time I saw him, he had a flannel shirt on." Hey, try this. Dress them up the way you knew them. Boy, be ready for a reality, because some people are going to be offended by that. But don't be afraid to suggest that if you can. Because some believe you're dressing him to meet a king. But might I say, by the time you have a funeral, he's already met the king. You're just dressing up the body. Just don't be so selfish to do what you think instead of what he wishes. If that was his wish, bury him in a football jersey. If you have a special suit or any other requests during funeral, write them out. You've got to list some debts which are unknown to others. This might seem embarrassing to you now, but it could add greatly to your family's problems later. I know you wouldn't want that. So if you have some debts, let people know. Veterans benefits. Most veterans with honorable discharges have something coming as a funeral benefit. Leave your discharge papers and ID number available. File these with your executive's papers. Offering of remaining funds, which you want left to different offerings or remaining funds that you want left to give to people. Maybe you want to leave your finances to church, whatever. Let's turn this tape over now and finish up on the other side.